The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. It is Thursday, November 7th. We're heading into week 10. We have crossed the halfway point barrier of the season. Well, look, not long ago, but I mean, everybody's played eight games, right? Everybody will have played eight games. I'm Will Brinson. I'm the host. We do the show between 8 and 10 times a week, depending on what kind of news breaks. Cam Newton goes down for the season, at least the regular season. And, we do an emergency podcast along with Nick Foles being installed as a Jags starter, things of that nature. We have Thursday night previews, Monday night previews, Sunday night recap. And we also do a weekly fantasy show featuring Heath Cummings and Brian McFadden live together in the studio, in the luxurious Cannell and Bell studios of, Fort Lauderdale. What's up, fellas?
What's up? We always talk about BMAC's team, and we talk about your team probably more than we should. I need to talk about one of my leagues.
Is this I feel like this is good fantasy therapy because as a fantasy analyst, you can't really tell anyone about your team.
Right, yeah. Right. And I think, Will, you're actually in this league.
Ooh, go on. Which league is it?
It's FFT.
Okay.
And there's an etiquette question, and we may have touched on this with my behavior surrounding the kicker position a couple of weeks ago when my opponent did not have one, and I picked up three kickers on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then the guy I left on the waiver wire, he picked up and scored 24 points. But then I was the highest scoring team in the league and beat him anyway. Mm. Anyway, this week I'm playing my boss, and he has Deshaun Watson and no other quarterback. And he didn't pick one up when waivers ran on Tuesday.
Is Chris Towers actually your boss?
Yeah.
Okay. Like you directly report to him?
I directly report.
Okay. I knew he's the fantasy editor. I just didn't know how the.
Yes, that is how it works in our department. So I picked up Ryan Tannehill through waivers.
Yeah.
And which was perfectly fine. I only had one quarterback, so that gave me two. And then I hear Pete sitting next to me talking about how he picked up Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I'm looking at the waiver wire. I'm like, oh, Pete didn't pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's right there. So I picked up Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I said, Pete, you didn't get him. I got him. You can trade for him, though. And then I noticed that there was still one more guy. I think it was Jacoby Brissett. And he practiced today, so maybe he'll play. I picked up Jacoby Brissett, too. And everybody out there was just acting like it was dirty pool, like I was doing something wrong. There's no roster limit to the number of quarterbacks that I can hold. We don't have any rules surrounding this. I'm not churning at one roster spot with multiple players, putting players back on waivers.
You didn't break any rules.
I didn't break it.
No, this is.
I feel like you have something more to say about it, man.
Can I just offer my take on this from a fantasy, an outsider fantasy regular standpoint? Cause I've done this before. I think it is highly irregular and frowned upon if on like Friday, you added and dropped seven or eight quarterbacks. That would be poor sportsmanship. I would, as a commissioner, I would undo those and give whoever it was their opportunity to pick their first quarterback out of that group. However, if you choose to use your bench roster spots on seven quarterbacks, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, like, there's a limit to which you're willing to do it, and it'll be hilarious when Chris is forced to start Mitchell Trubisky or Sam Darnold, and they go bananas on you.
No question. I mean, it's almost like it's a part of strategy, right? You didn't do anything that you were not supposed to do.
Didn't we just see? I mean, the Jets have Ty Montgomery, Bilal Powell, Le'Veon Bell, and Bell talks like he's going to play, and they just brought Josh Adams up from the practice squad, and they said, "Oh no, Le'Veon's hurt." They said, "We didn't do that because Le'Veon was hurt. We did that because someone was trying to add him off of the practice squad, and we wanted to block them from getting him."
Additionally.
Same thing I'm doing.
Yep. On we recorded this podcast at 3 p.m. on Wednesday, November 6th. Heath's two ads of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Jacoby Brissett were made at 2:48 and 2:49 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, November 6th, respectively. That left one Chris Towers more than a half a work day in which to log onto the internet, check his fantasy team and see if he got the waiver claims he put in for, and add or drop a quarterback as needed. Now, I'm not suggesting that Chris has tons of free time on his hands. That's not the case. He's a busy man, hardworking, constantly being badgered by Adam Azer, no doubt. But look, it's a $50 league. You gotta go get the quarterback on the bye week, buddy.
No question. Yeah. Heath, going back to you, I don't have an issue with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, if I was playing against you, I would feel some type of way. And I think it's up to you as a fantasy owner when you know you have issues at a certain position to try.
That's the key word.
Yeah, to answer that sooner than later.
And also worth noting here, I mean, you and Chris are tied at 4-5.
And I was tied with Pete. This is a big week as well. So, I mean, like, this is
a big week.
You, me, Chris, Heath, and George Maselli are all 4-5. And 5-4 are currently Jamie Eisenberg and Marone, who are in the playoffs right now. I think it's only a four playoff.
I believe it's a six.
Oh, six. Okay. Well,
we're fighting for playoff spots.
Yeah. I mean, Creeth would currently be in the playoffs right now. And George and I would be on the outside looking in. So, hey, like, I don't know. Fire away. It doesn't bother me one bit. It's perfectly good for him.
Good.
All right. Glad we can answer that for you. But again, if you had cycled through like six quarterbacks, I would say that would be inappropriate personally.
Okay.
Don't you agree?
Yes. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Now you could also make the case too, by the way, that like if Chris had waited to fill the quarterback void until like Saturday morning or Sunday morning, that he was opening himself up to, you know, another team claiming and dropping and deciding and being, you know, that he was, deciding just, you know, unsure about which quarterback to add and drop and just dropped a bunch. Got a little happy feet. Speaking of the quarterback position, this feels like a tough week for the quarterback position, Heath, because I look around. We have Jacoby Brissett, who's now hurt. Matt Ryan is playing in New Orleans. He is coming off of an injury. Daniel Jones can put up some numbers, but hasn't been great. Sam Darnold, we don't really trust quite yet, and he's playing at the Jets. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Tannehill are very viable starters this week, aren't they?
I feel more secure about Tannehill than I do Fitzpatrick. I do worry about him a little bit with Devontae Parker as his only reliable receiver because I just used the words Devontae Parker and reliable receiver. And he's on the road against a better defense. Tannehill is my top streamer. If Mahomes was not playing, Matt Moore would be, I think, a good streamer in that same game. But I'm not as excited about Fitzpatrick. I would stream Daniel Jones over Fitzpatrick still.
Just sort of looking across the landscape too, like Russell Wilson is at San Francisco on Monday night. It's hard to sit Russell Wilson, but that's a very good defense. Jameis Winston has a pretty nice matchup against Arizona. Kyler Murray, very nice matchup against Tampa Bay. Again, Jacoby Brissett hurt, so we don't know about that. Aaron Rodgers has the Panthers, who've been a very good defense. You know, Drew Brees has a great matchup. If you held on to him, congrats. Lamar Jackson, great matchup. Phillip Rivers Thursday night, pretty good matchup against the Raiders. But then Dak Prescott home against the Vikings on Sunday night. How are you handling, like, would you rather roll with Dak Prescott or Jared Goff this week?
Goff's the one I'm worried about. Mm. Again, we got a West Coast team traveling across the country to play at Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh defense has been phenomenal against quarterbacks since they got Minkah Fitzpatrick. So I would much rather start Dak. Dak's the top five quarterback for me. I don't really think the Vikings defense on the road is that much to overcome. I'm more worried about Goff.
Okay. What do you think, P-Mac? Who you got? Are you rolling with Matt Ryan this week, or how are you handling your backup situation if you got Matt? I mean, do we think Matt Ryan's going to play?
You know what? Good question for me, because I actually have, in a league, I have Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan.
Mm.
And last week, of course, I started Kirk Cousins because the Falcons, they were on a bye, and Matt Ryan is slated to make his return. So I'm in a bit of a flux right now, guys. Like, Matt Ryan, they're not winning ball games, but he has won so far when it comes to fantasy points. And he's playing against a very, very good defense on the road. He should be, I don't know what percent he is as far as being healthy, but, and then we know what Kirk Cousins usually do, what he usually does on the road against above 500.
In primetime.
So what should I do?
I'm going with Ryan over Cousins, but I do think I am one of the lower people on Kirk Cousins this week. I just feel more confident that, like, I think in a bad game for Matt Ryan, he throws the ball 45 times for 320 yards and maybe only has one touchdown. In a bad game for Kirk Cousins, he throws it 28 times and throws for 210 yards. So,
man, Heath, you know what? That's why you're good at what you do. and what you're saying is so true because I have both guys
you've seen it
on my fantasy team. And like a great, great insight, great information because the carry on. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to give you some tribute. I tip my hat. I don't have a hat on. I tip it to you.
You're firing up Phillip Rivers on Thursday, right? Or tonight, excuse me.
Yes, I would start Rivers over Ryan and Cousins. He's a top 10 guy for me. I kind of think the Raiders might win that game.
I agree with you too. At home?
Yeah.
I like the Raiders to win. Yeah.
So I tend to agree. Like, I feel like it's the right spot, but the Chargers just shred people in November. My only concern is that everybody's going to be on the Chargers after seeing them take care of business against the Packers. And then they're going to go on the road and lay a fat bag of poop in Oakland.
Well, that line's moved like from Oakland favored to the Chargers favored, right?
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. Yeah. The Chargers defense looked better, but I'm not actually sure that it is.
The Raiders offensive line is really good.
It is.
Josh Jacobs is running well.
Stopping the run. Yeah. Like, I don't think the Chargers can run on him.
I don't know if Denzel Perryman is going to play, although I would anticipate that he is not. If he doesn't play, that would be a problem.
But again, like, the Chargers losing does not keep Phillip Rivers from having a good day in fantasy. Mm-hmm. He can be good and they can lose.
Actually, you wouldn't mind them getting behind a little bit. So he can be forced to throw it.
That's a good point. Who else are you rolling with? Josh Jacobs, obviously. Melvin Gordon, yes. Austin Eckler, maybe?
Austin Eckler, yes.
Okay.
It's weird. The Raiders have been very good against the run and one of the worst teams in the league against running backs that catch the football. They have given up more touchdowns through the air to running backs than they have on the ground. So I think this is more of an Eckler game than a Melvin Gordon game, but I'm probably starting both. I think Tyrell Williams is a low-end starter. And then, unfortunately, Keenan Allen right now is a low-end starter for me. Mm. And I talked to Chris Harris today on his podcast, and he said like he's just going right back to Keenan Allen. And he's been making excuses for him for 6 weeks, and he's just going to keep making excuses for him because he's Keenan Allen. And I'm just a little concerned he's either not 100% or something's up there because he's not been the same guy for 6 weeks now.
Wow. You went on the podcast with the Denver Broncos cornerback.
The other, Chris Harris.
No, I'm just kidding. Chris Harris used to – I think that Chris Harris started it with Matthew Berry at talentedmrroto.com. Where that's where I got my internet writing start as well. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that you started with Talented Mr. Roto. So you were originally – a fantasy writer.
Oh yeah. And then I got
no idea of that.
Absolutely. I did my first paying. Matthew Berry paid me. I mean, I'm not insulting.
You get paid.
I'm not gonna. No, I mean, like, we were getting paid like $25 a month for these fantasy columns.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, like, there was no internet. Like, there was no. You got the job for free, and it was like Matt Berry starting his own site. I mean, he didn't have like this massive budget, but he's like, if I ever get bought up, I'll try and hook you up. I mean, $25 a month. I was writing like one column a week or something like that. I had a full-time job. It was like a very cheap side gig trying to get your foot in the door, but it ended up parlaying into me getting a full-time job at AOL Sports when Jamie Mottram hired me there to do fantasy football and then, let me put my fingers all over different sports, which is a weird phrase. Yes.
No, we're just going to let that sit there.
Yeah, that was awkward. okay, anyway. Keenan Allen, man. Talk about a unfortunate should have sold high situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he was like, we knew he wasn't going to be as good as he was at the start of the year because they didn't have anybody healthy. Mm-hmm. And he was getting like 35% of the team's targets.
Right.
Over the last 6 weeks, it's been closer to 25%. He hasn't had a touchdown or a 70-yard game since like week three.
But also, too, Heath, remember you just said that Phillip Rivers should be a must start. So if Phillip Rivers is a must start, shouldn't Keenan Allen be a must start as well?
We know Hunter Henry's a must start, and he's going to – like, he'll account for 60 to 80 yards of Rivers' production. I mean, the running backs have been
Eckler,
huge.
Eckler?
Yeah. And Melvin Gordon will catch a few passes. And then you got Mike Williams, who will catch probably 60 to 70. Like, I don't think Keenan Allen's going to be terrible, and I have him ranked as a top 25 wide receiver.
Gotcha.
I just don't feel comfortable with him.
What are your thoughts on these two guys? Well, you mentioned Tyrell Williams, but DK Metcalf, who would you go with?
Oh, I wish you hadn't asked me that. I currently have Keenan Allen ahead of DK Metcalf in PPR and behind him in non-PPR.
Keenan Allen, is over his past four games, is catching less than 60% of his passes, which is a really low number for Keenan
Allen. I don't think he's healthy.
I don't think he's either.
Yeah.
I don't think he's healthy.
But the problem with that is, like, there's a good chance that at some point in the next couple of weeks, he's going to get through practice and everything's going to feel better and he's going to be okay. Like, it's going to heal at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know when that's going to happen. And that week that he does, he's probably going to be a lot better than we expect. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to rank him lower until we see it.
In nine games against the Raiders, he has averaged 6.3 yards or 6.3 catches per game, 71.7 yards per game, which is pretty good, and has four touchdowns in those nine games. So, I don't know. I could see Keenan Allen getting up for this game, but I agree with you. Could be an Eckler, Hunter Henry situation. Speaking of injuries, a lot of stuff kind of popping up over the last, like, 24 hours or so. I don't know how – I mean, you know what, Heath, you're good at your job. You've been following it. A.J. Green, where are we at on this? Because it was reported originally that he would be ready to go for Sunday. Zach Taylor said they had a plan. And then Tom Pelissero of NFL Media reports that A.J. Green – may or may not play on Sunday.
He's not playing.
It
really
sounds a little fishy.
I don't think he's playing.
It sounds like but, I think yeah. I don't think he had any intention of playing.
Mm-mm.
Explain, B-Mac.
Especially with Finley. Mm. If I'm AJ Green, if I'm AJ Green, I'm pretty much going to do what Le'Veon Bell did, but on the roster.
You mean what Jalen Ramsey did?
Yep.
my back. Oh, my back.
You know, I actually do believe that if Andy Dalton probably was playing, he probably would be more excited. Ryan Finley is making his first start. This is a rebuild. We're actually watching a rebuild. The difference between the rebuild with Cincinnati and the rebuild with Miami is that Miami is stealing all the headlines because they're the Dolphins.
Well, and the Dolphins got rid of players to acquire picks. And the Bengals were like, we're just gonna keep them.
It was more, it was easier to, you know, determine and see, okay, we know what you guys are doing. Cincinnati, they didn't get rid of a lot of guys, but the production and the lack thereof is telling us they're rebuilding. So if I'm AJ Green, AJ does not, he don't have to play one snap this season and will be a hot name on the streets next season.
In fact, his value as a free agent would go up by not playing any snaps this season.
Because he's healthier.
Because he'd be healthier, right. And I think the other thing, too, like, you called it a rebuild, and I know what you mean. I'm not even sure it's a rebuild, because to get to a rebuild, you first have to tear down.
So you're saying that the building is already down?
No, I'm saying this is like an abandoned lot with, like, a homeless guy living in it.
We don't even want this building anymore. A sale sign on the window.
Pretty much, so, yeah, yeah.
They're still open. They still want people to come pay full price and sit in the building.
Yeah.
I went down to South Carolina for my stepfather-in-law's 70th birthday, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago. We drove back, and by virtue of coming from South Carolina beaches to Raleigh, you have to drive through some small southern towns. And one of those towns, the downtown, was complete. It was just literally store after store after store for, like, three blocks, and there was not one store that was open. And it was a ghost town, and that's what the Bengals are. I mean, it's pretty sad. And if I'm AJ Green, why would I, you don't, like, you've seen, and we've all seen enough of the NFL to understand that loyalty is a short, like, loyalty to a team in an NFL from a player, like, you're risking your own personal livelihood to go out of your way. Like, he doesn't need to come back and be, to help Ryan Finley become the next, you know, the next quarterback for the Bengals when he might not even be around without an extension. Like, if they want to extend him, fine. Extend him and then he can come back and play. But if I'm with you, B-Mac, why would you risk your long-term health and long-term financial gain to play for an 0-8 Bengals team?
Yeah. And he's in a situation to, for him that I don't think he will receive any backlash for doing that.
Nah, you're right.
Who blames
him? Yeah, who blames
him? So, like, should we drop AJ Green?
I think he's too good to drop, though. I think you still got to just hope and see, you know what, eventually he might decide to play. When you draft AJ, and I think if anybody who has AJ on their roster now, you probably spent with maybe, what, a 7th rounder, 8th rounder?
Fifth, somewhere between 5th and 7th, depending on when you drafted because there were.
Yeah, I agree.
It's probably a dead spot in your roster, but like my little quarterback strategy I was doing in the FFT league, I had a bad bench.
Yeah.
But if I had AJ Green, I wouldn't have dropped him for a quarterback.
Okay. You wouldn't have picked up Ryan Fitzpatrick despite Chris Towers for AJ. Yeah.
No, I want to keep AJ Green on my team.
Okay. And look, maybe it's also entirely possible that he got out there and had like, felt like a little tweak or had like a setback. It's like, look guys, I'm not going. And they're like, you know, all right, whatever, AJ. Yeah. Evan Engram. But I have,
oh man.
I'm staring at Evan Engram and AJ Green in a lineup next to each other. Don't think that's going to work out for me. Evan Engram had a mid foot sprain. But it is not a Lisfranc, he told reporters where, he is listed as, he said on Wednesday that he's not going to play against the Giants.
Yeah, so saying he's week to week.
No, he's out this week. He told him he's not, he told reporters.
I mean, he's not playing this week, but then after this week is week to week.
Yeah, there's no reason for him to play anymore.
He said anymore.
There's not.
Pull an AJ Green also?
I don't think he's going to pull an AJ Green, but there's no, you don't rush him. Like he's a young player that's part of their future and they're not winning. Just make sure he's good for next year.
So, okay, if that's the case, or let's say he's slated to miss a few weeks.
Right.
And you need to address the tight end position and currently available, you got guys like Jimmy Graham, Vance McDonald, Jared Cook. Like, where you go?
You're talking about a bunch of old guys. There's a young guy that I'm pretty excited about, Mike Gesicki.
Everybody is. But is that a week-to-week thing, or you actually believe?
I think he's been a starter-level tight end for the last month. And with Preston Williams gone, he was targeted more downfield last week, had 75 air yards, which was the third most at the position. They don't have another number two receiver that can get down the field. Albert Wilson can't run anymore. Jakeem Grant needs to be used around the line of scrimmage. I think he's going to be kind of their number two deep option. And like as bad as he's been, he's never scored a touchdown. We always talk about with rookie tight ends, they're probably going to be bad. We should be ready to accept when second and third year tight ends start to show us that they might be good.
Mm-hmm.
We need to act on that.
I think that's a good point. And I would also note that, you know, when you sort of look, you can look at our the CBSSports.com player profile page on your fantasy league, and it'll be like, oh, you know, like it's like, you know, you know it's color coded. Your green means a good matchup statistically. Red is a bad matchup statistically. And you know, in the fantasy playoffs, Mike Gesicki has the Giants and the Bengals, who have not ceded a lot of points to tight ends. However, their secondaries suck. And if he's one of the top two weapons for the Dolphins, then I think that he could actually be a pretty viable option in the fantasy playoffs as a guy at tight end, right?
Yes.
The Dolphins and the Giants are going to win people fantasy leagues because they have good fantasy playoff matchups.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful.
I love it. It's like when Drew Bennett and Billy Volek won fantasy leagues.
Mine was Devin Aroma Shodu.
Ooh, very nice. You know, I won a league with Jamal Charles before he was the starter, too. That was
I was on Jamal Charles before it was cool.
Me, too.
I was being you.
What's that?
I was being you.
Right. Fantasy hipster. Damn it. Who else? Any other any other guys like that? I literally just added Gesicki, by the way. Even in a league where I don't have to have a tie. Oh, my God. I have Gesicki and Devontae Parker in this league. Maybe I'm not going to win.
Go get Kalen Ballage.
Really? Or are you just saying that? put all the Dolphins on your offense. What about Le'Veon Bell? You mentioned him earlier, Heath. We had Le'Veon Bell reportedly had his knee looked at. They added Josh Adams, but it seemed more like a spite move by Adam Gase than anything else. We talked about you can't trade for Le'Veon Bell. Don't buy high of Le'Veon Bell, but he's not a terrible buy. Would you feel comfortable starting Le'Veon Bell this week moving forward?
As long as he practices. And he said that he could have practiced on Wednesday. So I'm assuming that he's going to be okay. And as long as he is, I'm putting in the starting lineup. It's still a great schedule coming up. It's just a bad team that he's on. So you have to temper your expectations. He's a high-end number two, low-end number one this week.
What about Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb? I heard that Freddie Kitchens said indicated that Kareem Hunt might have a bigger role than we maybe thought.
Yeah, I don't know that Freddie Kitchens knows what's going to happen in that game. Nick Chubb has averaged 22 and a half touches per game.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped him down in my projections this week to 18 touches.
Which is still.
Yeah, it's still fantastic. Yeah. I think there's a chance this trends to it. Like, I don't expect Hunt to have a huge role his very first game. I think there's a chance this trends towards maybe like a 60-30 type split, which would be bad news for Chubb. But like, I have Hunt in one league and I'll watch and see what happens to see if I'm going to hold on to him, but I'm not expecting a lot this week.
Yeah, the best thing I think, you know, speaking as a former player and something that we've seen from other guys at the running back position who missed a lot of time, it will take some time for him to get into football shape. You know, we kind of saw that with Melvin Gordon his first few weeks back. We saw that with Ezekiel Elliott not looking like the guy he was, you know, years ago and even last year. So it will take some time for him to get right back into football shape. Now, he was a part with the team throughout training camp and preseason. You know, those guys missed all of it. But, I mean, he's been away from the team for 8 months, and we know he's been working out on his own. But you cannot emulate being a part of team activities when you're working out by yourself.
Hey, let me just to circle back on the Evan Engram thing really quickly. Just a guy that we didn't – Darius Slayton, who's had some really nice weeks in terms of production, but didn't do anything against the Cowboys – on that Monday night game, has been up and down, didn't do much against Arizona, obviously not much against New England, but he did see four targets against Dallas, and he has a pretty good matchup against the Jets, and Evan Engram is out now. Any thoughts on him this week?
Boomer bust flex.
Okay.
Like, if I don't, you don't feel good about your flex, he's a guy you could put in there that could have a big day, but there's almost no floor.
Okay. No floor. It doesn't even exist. There's no floor. It's like the Bengals' house. They don't have a floor. What about the Cardinals' backfield? Kenyon Drake steps in out of nowhere, is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
B-Mac, would you hold, buy, sell Chase Edmonds?
I mean, if you can get anything for Chase, anything, you sell him. I don't know what you can get for him.
No. Chase Edmonds is, like, we're going back to now, the barometer is, would I drop this guy to spite at a quarterback against my opponent?
And my boss. My boss.
And Chase Edmonds is below that line. I would drop him.
Okay. All right.
I'd not drop Kenyon Drake.
No.
But I don't think Drake's going to be that good this week. I expect David Johnson to get a majority of the touches.
Do you think David Johnson is back in full this week?
Not quite in full, but enough to make Drake just a, man, I hope he scores a touchdown guy.
Okay. Ronald Jones for the Buccaneers. He shouldn't be available in any league, should he?
He was available in 38% yesterday, so I'd guess he's available in 15 to 20% now.
I will tell you in 1 second.
I'm all in.
I think he's going to have a big week.
I'm all in. I think he's a top 20 running back for the rest of the season. I think Bruce Arians has figured it out. When they've given him the football, he's produced fantasy points. I was a doubter for all of last year before he was drafted and most of this summer, but I'm back. I'm in. No, I'm not back in because I was never in before, but I'm all in.
Okay. I'm not back in. I'm just in.
I was never here before, so I can't be back in.
Right. 18 carries, 67 yards, one touchdown. He is 81% owned in CBS Sports fantasy leagues. That is pretty high, but not that big of a spike considering where he was. If he's available in your league, go snatch him up immediately. I mean, it's a running back who's going to get between 15 and 20 carries. You know, doesn't have the world's greatest matchup. Arizona's a pretty good matchup, but then New Orleans is tough. But then Atlanta, Jacksonville, Indy, Detroit, and Houston to close out. That's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Are there any? That's a guy that you could target too for the fantasy playoffs. Anybody else that you would look at, Heath, for the fantasy stretch run, fantasy playoffs?
He doesn't have as good of schedule, I don't think. I'm going to look it up and make sure, but I feel very similarly to Devin Singletary.
Okay.
Like, I didn't know when he would supplant Frank Gore, and there was a chance, like what happened with Kenyon Drake, that he wouldn't.
Coaches are, if you're a fantasy owner, coaches are a-holes. He had 4-6, didn't play, 7-3, 20. He went up to 20 carries this week. I lost the league because I didn't start him, and then the Cowboys scored a touchdown at the end of the game, and I lost to the Cowboys DST. Brutal.
But, like, he gets the Browns this week. They've not been very good against the run. He gets the Dolphins the week after. Now, it gets tougher after that, but I still – and then the playoff matchup is bad. But if he's getting 15 to 20 touches for the Bills, I think he's still going to be good.
I mean, Denver's fine against the run. They're not that great. you can run a little bit on Dallas. Baltimore's pretty good. Pittsburgh good. New England good. But that Week 16 game against New England might be sitting their guys.
And they've not really been particularly good against running backs.
In fact, you have to run against them to stop, right. to do anything against them. So yeah, I think, so you would, it's hard to buy Singletary this week, I think, because he was so good and whoever owned him has been, squatting on that, hoping he would break out. What about, David Montgomery, who I almost wanted to call Dexter McCluster?
Mississippi.
He is nothing at all like Dexter McCluster.
Nothing at all, but D&M.
If you wanted to call J.D. McKissick Dexter McCluster, then I would have kind of got it because they have a similar name. They play a similar game. They had the same hairstyle for a while.
No, but D&M, DM, like they both have DM initials. That was all it is. I was like, D, his name is D, he plays for the Bears. And Dexter McCluster never played for the Bears. I don't know what to tell you. My head's in a dark place right now, okay? Georgia Tech beat NC State last night. Clemson's coming to town. They're going to kick the crap out of us. Okay. I'm in a dark, dark place. Dabo Sweeney, if you, BMAC, I'm going to tell you right now. If you want to bet, for Saturday, take Clemson. Hammer Clemson minus 32.
I was going to ask you what were your thoughts, but I kind of knew where you were going.
I love David Montgomery as a ad for the playoff run.
Okay.
To answer the original question.
Yeah. So, by the way, so look, Clemson ranked fifth in the college football playoff poll. A purposeful slap to Dabo Sweeney's face. Last year against NC State, Dabo used his son in the first quarter on a fake field goal while up 17 points. He doesn't like Dave Doran. He knows he has to bludgeon everyone on his path, and it's all that's left is NC State, Wake Forest, and South Carolina. If he bludgeons those three teams, and then bludgeons whoever's in the ACC championship game, he's in the playoff. He's going to murder NC State. 50 points minimum. So anyway. So David Montgomery, good in the playoffs. Great. Let's move on to Facebook questions.
I'm just like, Devo is, I think he must be writing you a note to give you compliments on all the good things you did hosting this episode and the things that he really liked, but just furiously. On the keyboard.
Dude, this is how Devo spins the shows. He's like, stop. Go back to the path. You're wandering through the woods. You're getting hit by branches. Go back to the path. Facebook questions. Remember, you can join the Pick Six Podcast Facebook group. And for the record, by the way, I'm not the only one who goes on tangents. Brady Quinn went on an unbelievable tangent to start the show yesterday. But you can join the Pick Six Podcast Facebook group. Go to Facebook.com, search for Pick Six Podcast. It'll have like a little locked button on it. You can apply to join and we have moderators who will let you in. You can ask us questions. I will swoop through there several times a week and answer every question that has not been answered since the last time I was there. Brian Meek wants to know, this is a bigger concept, but what are your thoughts on a league allowing trades for future draft picks?
Love it.
Sure.
As long as it's a dynasty league or B, a keeper league where you keep at least four players.
I agree with that.
It cannot be a redraft league where you're trading future picks. It cannot be a one keeper or two keeper league. And this happened in one of mine. It was only a one keeper league and they did it for 1 month of one season. And it was such a disaster that half the league almost quit. And the guy who made all the trades won the league with ease and is currently 0-8 or 0-9 this year because he traded away all his draft picks and he only had one keeper.
Yep.
So it's a disaster if you don't have at least four keepers. I love it in dynasty leagues though.
Yeah. And dynasty leagues is a must. Keeper leagues is a must. I would say the other thing too that I would recommend in this situation is that your draft for the following year be based on the previous year's results.
Oh, yes.
But that's not always the case.
As long as it's a keeper or a dynasty league, it always should be the case.
And our pal Nick Costas was telling me about a league where it's like, I mean, like it's randomized. So like you might win the league and then get the first pick overall. That's stupid. Why would you do that?
Well, this is the league that Nick allegedly went undefeated in, I believe.
Allegedly, yes.
That's probably a pretty stupid league.
Yes. He's like, it's a very sharp league. Tough guys. And it's like, yeah, sure. Your 5-year-old cousin's trading you Alvin Kamara for a carrot. You gotta undefeated. Get out of here. You gotta be a real hero to go undefeated in the league and a real loser to lose in this first round of the playoffs with an undefeated team like me. Jeremy Barnett wants to know AJ Green outlook for the rest of the year. We covered that already. Is he an automatic starter? He is not quite yet. And then also says, what do you do, BMAC, with, what do you do with Robbie Anderson or Terry McLaurin?
Well, Terry is on a bye week. He has a bye.
That's a good call.
Yeah. So if you need a player for this week,
don't start Terry McLaurin.
Exactly. You got to go Robbie against the Giants, right?
Yeah. And I'm trying to buy low on Terry. I can't imagine they're going to run Dwayne Haskins out there six more times. That just doesn't seem fair to anyone. And so I expect Case Keenum to be a quarterback after the bye and expect Terry McLaurin to be a top 20 receiver again.
If they put Case Keenum out there, then Terry McLaurin is a viable wide receiver too.
Yep.
I mean, he was awesome when Case Keenum was out there. Worth noting too that, I mean, again, I can't stress this enough. Your fantasy playoffs are going to be decided by the crappiest teams in football.
Yep.
The Redskins go ahead. The Redskins have the Eagles and the Giants. I mean, they're going to put up points.
I'm looking forward to seeing the team that is, Darius Geis, Miles Gaskin, Devontae Parker, Terry McLaurin,
Case Keenum.
I don't know if I'd go quite as far as Case Keenum.
Daniel Jones.
One good tight end or something, but yeah, it's going to be a disaster. And I apologize to all you first place teams that lose to them.
I mean, that's why if you're in first place, stack your bench with teams on those crappy, go grab the crappy players. Don't let Devontae Parker sit out there, man. He's going to put up numbers. He's better than Sammy Watkins. There, I said it. That's a running gag on this podcast, Heath. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Do you know about the bet? I said during the preseason that Devontae Parker would have more yards than Sammy Watkins. And after week one, I was getting clowned. Now, not clowned.
What's the, do you have the score?
He's within 75 yards of him.
Okay. So it's really, really close.
It's really close. Yeah. And Parker's the only guy like left and Sammy's banged up. They'll save him for the playoffs. I think Parker's going to win.
I made a bet with Azer, Daniel Jones versus Gardner Minshew, fantasy points per start.
Yeah.
After Jones' first big game against Tampa Bay. So that game doesn't count.
And
Minshew is probably locked in now to whatever his number is.
Like 18.8 and Daniel Jones at like 16.2. So he needs to average basically 21 per game rest of season to beat Minshew.
That's fascinating.
It's fun.
So what do you win?
He has to wear the Minshew mustache for a week if Minshew is better than Daniel Jones.
He has to grow a mustache, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can't just like wear a mustache.
No.
And if you lose,
I get to do it again.
Okay. And I think you're okay with doing that.
Yeah, I'm pretty fine with it.
Yeah, Heath wants to lose. He's like, he's like hoping Minshew comes in for like a start for like a quarter and gets hurt just so he can grow a mustache for a week. Chase Savage asked, 12 team standard scoring. Who should I start this week? Dak versus Minnesota or Brisket, Jacoby Brissett versus Miami?
Dak.
If Dak. Jacoby's active, would you consider switching?
No.
Okay.
Dak at home.
Steve Richards wants to know, Juju, Jalen Samuels, Christian Kirk, or Tyrell Williams for flex, non-PPR?
You said Juju?
Jalen Samuels, Christian Kirk, or Tyrell Williams?
I would say Juju or either Samuels.
I would go with Samuels if Connor is out. If Connor plays, then I would go with Tyrell.
I agree with that too, I think. And unfortunately, you won't know.
Can't do that. So I just play Tyrell.
Yeah, because you won't know that Connor is out until, So just go with Tyrell. The Chargers, that's going to be a shootout on Thursday night. Tonight. That'll be a shootout tonight. Roll with Tyrell Williams. All right. Let's take a break. Oh, and we get to say bye, BMAC.
See you later.
You can hang. See you later, Wolfpack. Wolfpack sucks in all sports. We're trash. We're done. before we let you go, who's FSU going to hire?
I hope it's Big Game Bob Stoops.
That's not happening. Maybe Mark Stoops. Mini game Mark Stoops.
You got to pay to play.
Are you suggesting that FSU should pay players or that they should?
No. I mean, you got to pay to play. So you want to bring in a big name, you got to pay for him, right?
Yeah, for sure. But I heard Kirk Herbstreit say that like he talked to Bob Stoops and Bob Stoops was like, I'm not doing that.
Well, just know by tomorrow, because this is Thursday. Okay. So tomorrow there should be an announcement.
Whoa. You got a scoop on here?
I'm just hoping that there's an announcement.
I love this.
Whoa.
I like your fingers. Are those spirit fingers?
I was like getting excited.
We should definitely like just promote this.
Yeah.
Breaking the news.
I just feel like there will be an announcement. I just feel it in my bones.
Do you think it'll be a big game announcement?
I really hope so. It's a big, I mean, if you had to make an announcement on Friday, right before college football Saturday, it'd be a big name, right?
Yeah, you don't want to be like, would you be like, we're hiring Mark Stoops?
Not on Friday.
Not on Friday. You would do that like in the off season.
Like Tuesday, Wednesday.
Also, Mark Stoops can't leave Kentucky and like come to Florida State midseason, can he? Has that ever happened before?
I don't think so. That's why I think, you know, it has to be a guy that is currently not coaching if you make an announcement right now, right?
It has to be.
Yeah.
The only two guys would be Urban and Bob Stoops. The only reason you would blow this up in the middle of the season, a season that's already a disaster, like you try and reverse a disaster season by announcing a big name in the middle of the season.
Not to mention you lost a lot of recruits because of what happened a week ago.
Yeah.
Now you're creating a buzz out the gate.
And that guy doesn't have to coach this season, hypothetically.
Just put your staff together and get on the recruiting trail.
You start putting the staff together. It's announced. You get on the recruiting trail. You're grinding. That would actually be a pretty smart move by FSU. And that's why they paid the $17 million to Willie Taggart, too.
20.
Well, it's 20 for his whole staff. 17 for his. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what a wonderful podcast for Heath. We've talked about FSU, NC State. What else did we talk about? Anyway, all right, BMAC. Man, I can't wait to Friday.
Fingers.
Yeah. Thanks, BMAC. Talk to you next week, buddy. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, BMAC has departed us. Time for Heath and I to roll through some DFS chatter. I've been ice cold on DFS, Heath, ever since I won that one tournament and got $130. Been ice cold.
I think I won four of the first 5 weeks of the season, and I have lost the last two. So it's been a mid-season lull the last 2 weeks, but the nice thing, the way you look at it, as long as you're managing your money correctly, every loss is just another week closer to a win.
That's actually a good way to look at it.
You're going
to
win again.
Yeah.
And if you lose, it sucks that you lost, but you're going to win again soon.
Did Jamie or Pete tell you about Mr. Costas's little DFS escapade?
Yes. Yes. I heard that, he had lost, $49,000 in about 10 minutes.
That is correct.
That's a rough 10 minutes.
That's a rough 10 minutes.
I don't think I've ever lost $49,000 in 10 minutes.
I don't think I have either. This is why you don't screenshot it with 45 minutes left in the slate and text it to your buddies.
Yeah. That's very true.
You're literally asking to get to lose.
Well, and like there will be people, like I'm not good at this, but this is why people tell you don't check your scores until the games are over.
Right.
Because if he had never looked during the game,
he would have been like, hell yes, I won
$1,000.
Oh, $3.
Yeah, what a day.
Yeah, yeah.
instead, it's like, man, my life sucks.
He actually texted me. He's like, why, is it weird that I feel like I lost? We're like, nah, you should feel that way.
But he should have never known.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. All right. Let's get back on track. Let's get everybody back on track this week with your top quarterback play. He is the, I think, the top priced option, Lamar Jackson.
He's the top priced and the top projected. And as far as quarterbacks on this slate in the DFS scoring system, or at least on FanDuel scoring, I project him for like 5 points more than any other quarterback. Now there's some concern that this will be like the Dolphins game in that he won't run, but not like the Dolphins game with the 5 touchdown passes, and maybe his ceiling's a little bit lower, but I don't care. It's Lamar Jackson. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the world, and he's facing the Bengals, and that's your cash game play.
Yeah, for sure. Contrarian play, Matt Moore.
Currently, hopefully.
If Patrick Mahomes starts, though. That is the real contrarian play.
Patrick Mahomes is going to come back, and it might, like, I'll be interested if Mahomes comes back and we don't find out till like Saturday or something. We get little rumors and then he's finally active on Sunday. Like, what's his ownership going to be when everybody's spent the entire week not sure if he's going to play?
It can't be that high, right? Because
it won't be as high as Lamar. I don't think it'd be as high as Breeze, probably. So that could be interesting too.
Well, Mahomes is the second highest priced on DraftKings at 7,000. So he's just $3,000 cheaper than Lamar Jackson and $300, excuse me, and then $200 more expensive than Jameis Winston. I can't imagine he'll be very owned.
Right.
Against it,
switch to him.
That's it. I think I was going to ask that if Mahomes is a contrarian play, and I think he is.
I hope so. I don't have any idea on projected ownership this time of the week, especially when he's still not listed as projected to play.
Running back plays. The top play for you is a hopefully healthy Alvin Kamara.
They finally priced Christian McCaffrey high enough where he didn't project as the top play running back. And it's a pretty good matchup against the Packers, but I don't know what he is on DraftKings. On FanDuel, I think he's at 10-5.
He's 10-5 at DraftKings too.
Yeah, that's too much.
Saquon is 8-8 and Kamara is 8-2.
Especially when you have Alvin Kamara against the Falcons.
Yeah. Is there any concern that the Saints might be up big and just let Latavius run wild?
I don't think they'll get up big without Alvin Kamara having a good day.
Okay, interesting. That's a good point. Contrarian play, Jamal Williams.
This is kind of – it's weird because this is kind of a donkey play in that he's not – it's not smart play. Because he's not.
No, I know what a donkey play is. My plays are donkey plays.
Like, why are you telling me it's the top contrarian play? Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons it's contrarian. Because he's not getting enough touches to score the fantasy points that he's been scoring. But I do like his involvement in the passing game. And they do have another very good matchup in terms of how the Panthers defend running backs. And there's always that upside chance that, like, Aaron Jones drops a pass and Williams gets 10 straight touches. And his price hasn't gone up to match his production. So I think he'll be low owned. I like it.
He does catch a lot of touchdown passes too. What do you think about David Montgomery at 5,300 this week?
I like it a lot.
Okay. Nick Chubb at 7,000. I really think, so I have a theory about this game, and Nick Chubb is 7,900 on FanDuel as well. I know that people are worried about Kareem Hunt. People think the Browns suck. They don't want anything to do with the Browns. But if you look at, there's two things for me on this game. If you look at the Bills, they're a bad team against the run and you can run on them. And I really think that we are going to see 2 to 3 more big spikes from the Browns in terms of, oh, that's what Cleveland can be if everything clicks, like against the Ravens when they drop that 40 burger on them. And I think this is one of those weeks where Chubb runs wild against Buffalo.
It kind of seems like everybody agrees with you.
That's a donkey play.
That's the problem, because like they were open at 1.5 point favorites and now they're favored by 3.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when I saw they opened it, one, I was like, well, how fast is it going to take for Buffalo to be favored? And nobody took Buffalo. Like, they're just begging you to take Buffalo.
Let's see what the Action Network has for percentages on that. They have 73% of the bets are, this reeks of a Cleveland. This reeks of a Cleveland steamer I hate to tell you. Buffalo is 73% of the bets, 65% of the money, and the line is moving towards Cleveland. So Cleveland is getting steamed by the Sharps. This is, I think, what we're learning there.
Okay.
The Sharps are steaming Cleveland, if you will. Wide receiver, Diva is like, please move along. Wide receivers, also with the Saints, Mike Thomas, can't guard him. Like, top play.
I don't believe he has a game this season below 16 fantasy points.
Is that right?
They believe that is accurate.
That's
I believe
true.
He scored at least 16 fantasy points in every game. So why, like, he's been over 20 in 3 of his last 4. He's just amazing in every way. And he should probably be priced 500 more than any receiver.
I don't know if you know this. Fun fact. Michael Thomas leads the NFL in receiving yards, and he's coming off his bye.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's very, very good.
Yeah. Leads the NFL in – oh, no. Hopkins and Julian Edelman have passed him in targets, but they are on their bye this week, so he will jump them as well. And I think you could actually argue that Michael Thomas is due for some positive touchdown regression, right? Maybe a little, maybe not.
Yeah, he's had weird touchdown numbers from times in the past. But, yeah, I think he's due a little.
Okay. Top contrarian play. Oh, yeah. Shoot it in my veins. Devontae Parker.
It's so weird. But he's been a top 20 wide receiver since week 4. And since Ryan Fitzpatrick came back in week 6, he's been a top 15 wide receiver. And he's priced like a number 3 or number 4 wide receiver. And I don't think the Colts are particularly good in the secondary. And we know Fitzpatrick's going to wing it. So, I'm playing him.
How are you handling the Lions wide receivers this week? The Bears have allowed 20 passes of 20 yards or more, which is bottom 5 in the league, and just 3 passes of 40 yards or more, which is also bottom 5 in the league. The Lions are really a feast or famine, in the words of Phil Mickelson, bombs. They like to throw bombs. So, how do you handle Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones?
I just start Kenny Galladay and don't really think about it. Yeah. Marvin Jones, I probably close my eyes and start. Like, I'm going to think about it a lot. But there's just not very many good wide receivers this week.
Mm. And Marvin Jones, the thing about him is, like, he'll hammer you with a 3. Like, he's got 3 games of 18 fantasy points or more in standard scoring leagues. And 2 games with 10-plus targets. So sit him at your own. Like, if he gets 9-plus targets, he's going to score a bunch of points. So hammer.
Yeah, he's also got fewer than 25 yards in 2 of his last 4.
Yep. He's boom or bust. But, I mean, like, they're not going to – by the way, that over-under in that game is 41. That's low for a Lions team that doesn't really defend and doesn't run the ball well.
I think that's the Mitchell Trubisky effect.
Bears are favored by 2.5, too.
Yeah.
That stinks. Tight end play. Austin Hooper.
Much like Michael Thomas, leads tight ends in fantasy points and receptions, and he's coming off his bye. I don't think his involvement in the offense is going to go down without Mohamed Sanu. He has at least 6 catches. We get 6 targets from a tight end. We're pretty excited.
Yeah.
He's got at least 6 catches in every game but 1. Mm. And they're going to throw the ball 50 times.
Yep. And you would presume that Marshon Lattimore is going to shadow or at least be on Julio Jones a substantial portion of this program. So why not? And then your contrarian is my man, Jonnu Smith, who just keeps producing. Sorry I didn't trade you Jonnu Smith for the Raiders defense or what?
He didn't produce last week.
Oh, he didn't do anything last week, did he? I should have traded you Jonnu Smith for the Raiders. I won anyway, though, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, I lost. I'll go right back to him. As long as Delanie Walker's out, I think he's better than Delanie Walker.
Okay. Let's get to beer. Had any good beer lately?
I have not had any unique beer lately.
You have some beer coming to your house there, right?
I have some beer coming to my house. I'm not sure at all what kind it is. I have this is my, my Publix BOGO ad 2 weeks too late. But New Belgium Juicy Hazy was BOGO. And so I just bought like 2 cases of it.
That's a good beer.
I just been drinking that because it's in my fridge, in my garage.
I need to go check out this. We don't have BOGO deals for beer at my – it's at Publix?
Yep.
I need to go check that out.
Not every week, but at least 2 weeks out of the month.
Okay, and it's usually like Sierra Nevada hazy little thing.
It's good beer. Sometimes it's not.
BOGO beer is good beer.
Get some kind of Kona Island Lager, and I'm like, no.
That's not bad. It's not a bad beer.
That's not a Heath beer.
Whoa. So, Joseph H, my buddy, who's getting a podcast shirt sent his way. I think I've taken care of everybody so far who sent me those. Sent me a big box of beer that showed up at my house today. It was in a diaper box, so my wife was very curious about that. My wife, being the sane human that she is, immediately thought that I had a secret family I was buying diapers for. Because, you know, who doesn't want a second family, Heath? Just going to mention some of the beers that I got, though. Two Roads Holiday Ale, Bière de Noël. Very excited about that. 7.3%, a little Christmas beer. Going to save that for December, obviously. Wormtown Brewery, Triple IPA. Hello. The B Hoppiest is 10.7%. Limited Access Double IPA from, where is this? You know, I don't know what brewing this is, but it says Rock Art on it. So we'll go with that. In Vermont.
It's a large can.
It is a large can, 7.3%. These are all, it appears to be IPAs. Double dry hopped, full clip, limited release from Stoneface. Good Lord, these are great beers. And then I feel like this would be right in your wheelhouse, Heath. New Pair of Brews, a milk stout with cold brew coffee.
Interesting.
Yeah. So thank you, Joseph. Your shirt is going to be in the mail soon. Very excited to try these. Going to get one of them cold and drink it probably tonight. Wash away my sorrows. In the meantime, anything else? Anything else you want to talk about beer-wise?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Heath, as always, buddy, pleasure. Talk next week, man.
Sounds good.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.